Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.
Indeed, that's where you can find those studies to join us so that you can be going through them with us. And this week, we are going through Discover Study Guide lesson number 6, titled there, A Second Chance at Life. And joining us to take us through is going to be Umfundisi Pastor Mufupi, going through this series. And this series, this lesson in particular, lesson number 6, dives deep into the concept of salvation. You know, why apparently we need saving, and so saving from what? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And then tomorrow, who can do the saving is also a conversation we're going to be having. And let's welcome our pastor as he's going to be taking us through. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you and welcome to the radio station once again.
Afternoon to you. How are you doing over that time?
No, we're doing quite well. A blessed festive period to you and your family. And thank you for sacrificing that time over with the family to talk to us and the listeners this afternoon.
I'm glad that I can hear you clearly. I was afraid that since I'm in the rural areas, I wouldn't be able to communicate with you nicely. But I can see the Lord helped us.
Indeed. So, yeah. It is the Lord's doing, right?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Let's maybe just jump straight into our conversation for the day. We're talking here the second chance that Christ gives us, and it's all an idea that is aimed at driving this concept that we need salvation. Maybe let's start there. Does everyone need saving, Mfundisi?
I would like to just start by this verse saying, Romans chapter 3, verse 23.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on to say, all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. So to maybe answer your question on the surface, I can say, because everyone sinned, everyone needs salvation. Everyone needs to be saved. But then we then go further to say, this saving does only come when you choose to be saved. If you don't want to be saved, then it's then the other story. But roughly to say, everyone needs salvation because we are all living in sin. And because we were born having blood, sinful blood flowing through our veins, we all need salvation. But this salvation only comes when you choose to be saved. If you don't then choose to be saved, it's a different story together. But I can say everyone needs salvation. Everyone needs to be saved.
That's fascinating. That's fascinating. I love how you phrase your statement. And maybe that's a very good opportunity to ask a question that's very much accompanying that, as you mentioned that. I thought, what if then you get somebody who's okay with their status quo? I understand that maybe, for example, you come into a place and someone is drowning. They might feel like surely they need saving. But what if somebody is not needing to be saved? What if they're okay and comfortable in their status quo? Do they still need to be saved? I mean, it's one thing to say, but you know better, everybody must leave. But maybe somebody doesn't want to leave, you know, and you want to save someone who wants to not leave. I don't know.
Okay. I can then say, this verse, I'm forgetting the what chapter and verse it is, but it goes on to say that the free gift of God is everlasting.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It says everlasting or salvation has been put openly to everyone. So you gave an illustration to say someone is drowning. You're giving a hand. You are drowning, my friend. I can give you my hand so that I can help you get out of the water. Because once you're drowned, you'll be choked by water and you are dead. And this guy is saying, no, I don't need your hand. I'm okay with this. And then you see the guy going down. So I think in the matters of salvation, God doesn't want you to grab. Like this person who is drowning, I can just say, I can see you are busy with what you're busy doing. But what matters now is I risk your life. So I will just go into the water, grab the guy, and then put him outside the water. But then in the issues of salvation, being saved from sin, God doesn't want to grab you, and it seems as if he has taken you by force out of the place that you feel you are comfortable. He wants you to feel the heat. And when you feel the heat, you feel like, no, this place is not comfortable for me. I can see a place which is much cooler. So I need to stand up, make a move, and then I go to a much cooler place because it's very hot in here. So that's the only way God is going to save us from sin. If we realize, Ukuti, we have something which is not actually good in the places that we are living or in the current situation. We need to change this situation because it's not good for us. If you make that effort, then God is offering, the help is there. It's free. It's everywhere. You can just, because God, I need your hand. And then God will stretch his hand and then helps you from where you want to go out from.
I think it's fascinating. I mean, of all the human liberties that we possess in life, I mean, we even have the Human Rights Commission and so forth. I don't know any human right that is there, the right to die. You know, we possess the right to die, where if someone stops you from dying, you can sue them. I haven't come across that one yet. I mean, I'm still to be educated. But that's the same thing that you're saying here, Pastor, that salvation is an opportunity to live, right? And that is everybody. There isn't yet a person who says, no, I mean, I don't want to live, guys. Perishing is fine. I don't mind perishing. And then as much as true, whosoever will is the counsel of John 3:16 may live, may obtain this passage. Mm-hmm. But that's supposed to be everybody. That's the Lord's desire. I think it's Peter who says he's desiring that none should perish, but all should come to the realization of life. So indeed, it is quite popular. And maybe as you say that, Mfu, let's go into the meat of today's conversation. If all of us are needing salvation, and that's the first point, that we need to identify the need for our salvation, what do we need to be saved from?
Okay. Like I said before, Romans 3 verse 23 puts it clear to say, all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. So the status quo here, the thing that we need to be saved from, I can see, it's sin. But we can then realize sin in different stages, which I'll actually go through with us to see if this is happening, it's the result of sin. Or for example, because everyone has sinned. Like if we still remember, if we go to the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve we're now told by God to say, because you have done this, this is going to fall on you because you disobeyed me. So because of that disobedience, there were repercussions which came because our first parents didn't fall along with the demands of or what they were told by God. So we'll then go through those things. But the basic thing that we need to be saved from is sin. And sin is causing so many things that we are going to discuss as we go down there. I think there are only five that I will put across it, that it can be clear to everyone.
Mm-hmm. You can take us through the numphonies of the points.
Okay. The first point goes on to say, we need to be saved from... Okay, let me see. Okay, we need to be saved from wrongdoings, which are wrongdoings. Like before, like I see we have been the first lesson said sin. See, what is sin? It's going against God's commandment. So when we go against God's commandment, we are now doing wrong. So we need to be saved from this attitude or character of doing wrong. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes, Mfundisi. I'm waiting for you to take us through the... you're just going to go through all the ways that of what we need to be saved of. I'm going to give you that opportunity to take us through all the points.
Okay. So we need to be saved from wrongdoing. If you go to the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, all wrongdoing is sin. So everything that we do wrong, or everything that we do against God's commandments, it's wrong. And us as human beings, because we were born in sin, we have this thing to like doing wrong. Like our makeup is inclined to like the doing of things wrong. Okay, you can just say, for example, you are told this part of the road that you're moving needs to be 100 kilometers per hour. But you can see someone, the sign is there, but someone is driving at 120. Why are you doing this? It's in us to do things wrong. So we need to be saved from this attitude of doing things wrong. And the second thing that we need to be saved from, it comes from the book of Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. It goes to say, we need to be saved from a broken relationship with God. So when we do things wrong, our God, the God who created the heavens and the earth, is totally against doing things wrong or going against his laws. So if we go against his laws, then we are breaking our relationship with him, which means to say he doesn't like doing wrong. So if you do wrong, then you are not on his side. So you are actually breaking the relationship between you as his creature and him as his as your creator. I think the third thing we need to be saved from is comes from the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 12, to say we need to be saved from eternal death. I still remember this verse which says, the reward, because we sin, the reward is death. So anything that is wrong, God doesn't want it. And then he said, because you have done this, you surely die. He said this to our first parents. So the reward, if you do wrong, the next thing that you are facing is eternal death. So we need to be saved from this, from doing wrong and breaking the relationship with God, such that if we do all those things wrong, then we are prone to death. So God wants us to be saved from eternal death caused by what? Caused by sin. Mm-hmm. The fourth thing, which is we need to be saved from a sinful, unhappy, empty life. So it happens when you live. Let me take this example to clarify this point, to say, you know, we have given you a job, and this job we have gave you, you need to start, or it commences at 7:30. And something happens when you're still home, and you see that when you arrive at the time you arrive at work, it will be already 8:00. You have this thing to say, I've been told about this, and it's me who is actually coming to work at 8:00. You have this thing in your brains or in your mind, which is haunting you. You see, it's not like I haven't been told. I have been told, but it's me who is actually going against what I have been told. So even though you get into your office, you are just expecting with the boss will come anytime to ask you, what time have you got to the work? What time have you got here? Like, you are just waiting for that question. And then you don't have a stable day, or you are not actually stable wherever you are, because you are just thinking you have gone out of the law or the rules that you have been set by the bosses. Okay. So God wants us to save us from this unstable, empty life, to just questioning ourselves, why are we? Am I doing this thing wrong? Why am I doing this? Why am I like, why me? Like, just accusing yourself each and every time. If it wasn't for this that I have done wrong, maybe I would have been in this place. So God wants to save us from that. And then the last thing that God wants us to be saved from is we need to be saved from a sinful world. Because everyone is sinning, or everyone sinned. Even though the world has been created perfectly as it was. But because people who are living in this world are sinful, then the world tends to be what? To be sinful again. So,
yeah.
God wants us to take us from this world that is sinful, or that we have made sinful, to take us to another place which is actually not sinful, or is not corrupted by sin. So I think these are the things that God wants us to save us from. We must be rescued from a world full of sin and its result, misery, heartache, loneliness, wars, sickness, and death. Like you can see everywhere, if you can hear, go to the news, the world is just telling us there's a war there, there's this sickness, like we once gotten out from this other pandemic, coronavirus, like the world is unstable. The world is, even if you try means to make it stable, it's not even stable. Like you go to your house, you have a job, like you are thanking God that at least I have a job and I have a stable income, but you come home, electricity is gone. Like you need to type your work, you need, like the world is just not stable, it's just not giving us a comfortable situation to live. So God has seen this and he wants us to be saved from this this dilemma of sin which has entered our world. Like I think in a nutshell, because I was just running through, maybe yes, these are the five things that has been caused by sin. And I have broken them down into 5 points to see what sin has caused us to get into.
Yes,
and,
sir.
I think this is the layout of the things. That
no, thank you so much for that.
From.
Maybe then, Mfundisi, thank you for taking us what we need to be saved from. I think each and every one of us are finding somewhere where we are being fetched there, somewhere where we are being called, somewhere where we are identifying with what we are doing that we need to be saved from. Maybe as we wrap up today, just your closing remarks until we prepare for tomorrow.
Okay, I think in closing, I would like to say there is this verse. Actually, I don't know what's happening with me, but I'm actually remembering the phrases and not the actual chapter and verses. Like it's saying the world is groaning, or the world is crying because of sin. Even the creation, the animals, the trees, and all the nature are actually crying because of sin. And we as people, we are not to be excluded from that. And the good thing about God, or the good thing about this God we worship, is to say he has seen this. He realizes that we are crying because of sin. And he's offering a free hand to say, because we have sinned, I'm here to lift you up. And it's only us who can make this decision to say, oh God, we have seen salvation in you, and we need to come, or we are free now, or we have decided to stand up and walk with our own feet, to come to you because we have seen that salvation is in you. And it should be a thing that comes from the inside our hearts, or it's a thing that we need to decide for ourselves and our families and our friends. All together, we stand up to say, we need to make a change. And this change is going to happen only if we decide to follow Christ, because he is our salvation. I think as we are in the festive season, I have actually moved to from the city to go to the rural home to just have a family time today. So I think, because now this time it's Christmas, I know we have been discussing about this, but the good time for Christmas is to say, it brings the family together. You go back and settle with your family. You have this togetherness that you still remember the old time days. Like I've been with my brother recently to say, you know, these days we're doing this, we're doing things at this particular position. You get to get together and like make memories together. And then this is the actual time you need to then settle down to say, look, guys, we were here 12 years ago. But because of his grace, it's not by our mighty, the Bible says, it's not by our mighty or by our power, but it's through God's grace that we are not consumed. Or it's through Amen. God's grace that we are still able to stand right now. So we need to realize, make a realization to say, everything that we're doing wrong, to just say, no, we need to stop this as a family. You, in my language, you say, furirana, or let's come together and make a gossip about turning from doing bad things
Amen.
To go and grab salvation from Christ. I think this is my message as we are in this family time, togetherness, and the festive season. We are waiting for another new year. So I think this is the right opportunity to use such that we influence our family members to come back to Christ and have salvation.
Amen, amen. Come back to Christ and have salvation. What a message to wrap up the day. Thank you so much, Pastor Mfupi. May God bless you until we chat again tomorrow. Have yourself a blessed day further and enjoy the family time. Thank you again for taking time to talk to us, even in the midst of all this.
It's okay, Uncle. I really appreciate and happy Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to everyone. Until we meet again tomorrow, have a blessed day.
Amen and amen. Man.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.